Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650 with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz live from the Kintech Studio 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at dunbarlumber.com. By the way, preseason coverage here of the Canucks on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Tile Town. As BC's favorite hockey team kicks off a new season, receive 20% off any regular priced in-stock tile. Visit mytiletown.ca for details. Just before we go into the whiteboard, J-Dog the Car Hog, fantastic name, texts in that suggesting the reason you're so happy today is that you're covering a cup contender.
Sorry,
the reason you're so happy today
is that I'm covering
a cup contender.
We'll see.
I think there's something to, right, like, rather than have a semantic debate about cup contender, I think there's something to the idea that for everyone who obsessively follows the Canucks, whether for work or for fun, it's easier to be in a good mood this year than it has been in previous years.
Oh, it does.
A lot easier.
I mean, it is, but it literally does not impact my point of view or my mood.
No, you way prefer to cover a good team. Come on. A team with a chance to win the cup?
Sorry,
of course.
I way prefer to cover meaningful games.
Yeah.
But like fundamentally,
I'm not saying
it doesn't change my outlook day to day.
I just think it's better. How much pleasure you're taking in your job doesn't change your outlook day to day? Doesn't change your mood?
No.
Wow. All right.
Not because I get pleasure from doing this radio show, you know what I mean? Like, I get pleasure from having like a really good conversation that like brings people in depth or closer to the game or closer to a big moment within the game. Like, you know, I'm not deriving it from wins and losses or from the success.
No, but
of
I'm
team.
Not saying you're,
I definitely
I'm not,
want the opportunity to cover the
well, that's
biggest
what I mean,
possible game.
I'm not saying you're like cheering for the team. That's not what I'm saying.
No,
I'm not.
I'm not pushing back against that. I'm just saying it truly doesn't impact my mood. Like, I don't think I'm chipper at all because the Canucks are a Stanley Cup contender. I'm not sure they are. I'm happy for the fans that are excited about it. I think there's a real conversation to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think we should designate a segment for tomorrow or Friday or next week about this very question, because like, I think it's really, really interesting. I think there is absolutely a world. Like, I think the Canucks are pretty safely a top 10 team going into this season. But, you know, the cup contender tier, that like 7 or 8 teams with a real shot to win it, are they there? You know, I think there's a chance that they can be, for sure. But I don't think it's a chance that we should take to the bank, or certainly not one that I'm going into the season necessarily anticipating. I'm high on this team, but I also see them as a team that almost every year, like the fat part of the bell curve, to bring it back to familiar terrain, is that this team should be, if not a Stanley Cup contender, in the mix as one of the fringe versions of that. Okay, well, this team hasn't hit the fat part of the bell curve in terms of outcomes in 5 years, right? 2019-20, they way exceed expectations. The next year, they finish behind a rebuilding Ottawa Senators team in the All-Canadian division. Makes no sense. The next year, we see them literally hit both marks, right? Like the first 25 games, they fell off a map, right? Probably a 5th percentile outcome relative to their true talent level. And then under Boudreau, we see them hit this sort of 95th percentile, and then it sort of ends, and it's like, well, they're, you know, the fringe playoff team we all kind of expected going in, but we took the most circuitous possible path to get there. And then the next season, I'd say again, they hit bottom 5th to 10th percentile outcome, given their true talent level. And then last year, they might have been the luckiest team of all time in terms of finishing luck and goaltending luck, but that doesn't obscure the real improvement that we saw throughout the course of the season. But, you know, are they a Stanley Cup contender now? I mean, I think they're a good team with margin for error. That's a very good start. But, you know, we see every year, we come into the season every year with like up and down the lineup, everyone had a career year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the exact profile that we know often comes back to earth a little or a lot. Right? And if it's a little, then this team might be a fringe cup contender. If it's a lot, then they might not. Right? And so, you know, I like, not only does that not affect my mood, I don't know. I wouldn't be buoyed by it anyway because I'm not buying yet.
I much happier having these conversations than the conversations we were having at this time of the calendar and previous seasons.
Sure. The will they make the playoffs?
I'm not going to say it has like a major impact on my day-to-day mood, but I know which one I choose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Easy.
Well, I'd choose it for our listeners, if nothing else.
No, it's more fun. It's way more fun to talk about that.
Doesn't matter to
way me. Way more fun. Whatever. Anyways, on that note,
I don't know what else to tell you.
Let's get into the whiteboard for today.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Headlines: Jamie planning the parade route.
No, please.
It's for me. It makes my job better.
It is your daily deep dive into what's
we
up with
start
the Canucks
down Georgia
for today, September 25th.
Get on the duck boats. You cruise around in the water.
That sounds awesome. It's it's okay to have some fun with it. Like, even Bick was getting on my case because I was like, I'm not that concerned about this start. And he was like, whoa, you're penciling them in to win the division? I was like, no, but we can relax a little bit here. We can just, I don't know, like, chill out a little bit about this team. They're going to be fine, is what I think.
I think that's right.
I actually think the way we were just talking about it, of characterizing it as the conversation of can they take that next step from fringe to true, like, inner circle cup contender.
That's the question.
Right. And so in that context, I'm not super concerned with what happens over the first, like, six games.
Except I think fringe is not, like, fringe is, to me, not, it's not, like, the worst case scenario.
Sure.
I have too many questions in goal. I have too many questions in terms of the puck moving for me to even be at that level. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, headline: Canucks beat the Kraken 3-1 in their first preseason game. As mentioned, also, they're back at it against the Flames in Abbotsford. It was Nils Höglander. It was Filip Hronek scoring on the power play. And then Pius Suter adds the empty netter to make it 3-1. Archer Shelov's really strong. We didn't talk a lot about that, just you and me off the top of the show. So, not that it all of a sudden answers your goaltending questions, because those aren't going away until Thatcher Demko is back and healthy and playing really well. But after some of the questions specifically related to the goalie performance in Penticton, nice to see Shelov's look good in that scrimmage, look good again last night, and plays the whole 60 minutes, as Rick Tocchet promised that he would as well. Other standouts, Lekker Mäki, you heard Jason Bukla earlier on the show talking about how good he looked, some of the plays he was making, just that willingness to go out there and make a play, not looking scared with the puck on his stick, but also paying attention to the defensive side of things. And Atu Ratu, also, you know, getting the praise from the head coach, playing that heavy game, picks up a point on the power play, and just overall looking like he could be a real NHL option. Now, one thing we didn't talk about at all, and I'm not really sure how I feel about this, but part of the talking points coming out of last night's game, the rivalry is here between the Kraken and the Canucks. Even a preseason game had that level of spice to it. Are you buying that a rivalry can start to develop as a result of a notably chippy preseason game, or chippier than usual preseason game?
No. No, I'm not.
It's got to be playoffs, right?
Got to be playoffs.
Yeah. Or at the very least, like,
A meaningful regular season game, because
yeah,
like, you're, like, competing.
Game in April with playoff spot on the line.
Yeah, or division title on the line, or, you know, you're eyeing each other for a playoff spot. It's like, oh, these two teams, they're going to meet in the playoffs, and it's going to be fascinating. Like, I would struggle to imagine that there will be more heat in game one when the Canucks play the Kraken than when the Canucks play the Oilers. Like,
no,
zero
goodness.
Chance. And honestly, I'd say probably the same with Nashville. You know, like, especially after the Brunette commentary, and you know that those Nashville players are going to have that in mind, and Kiefer Sherwood has changed teams, and Kevin Lankinen too, and, you know, like, that's going to have more heat, I would bet, than when the Canucks play the Kraken for the first time.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Now, although the Tyler Myers element is the only thing that gives me pause there, because for whatever reason,
I'm pretty
he's
sure
always
that's,
in the middle of it.
I'm pretty sure that's, like,
media.
Well,
in Seattle,
did anyone go after Tyler Myers in the third afterwards?
No,
not
I don't
really.
Think so.
So I don't know. I mean, I think the players kind of know the score. I think they, even if Kraken players sort of saw the Borgen, I don't know, what do you call it? It wasn't really a hit. It was like a ramming, like a bludgeoning. I don't know. Like, Yeah, zoomed into him. I don't know. Like, even if Kraken players saw that and they're like, "Nah, that's a bit reckless after the whistle." They didn't. No one made him answer for it. So I think that tells you that it's kind of not a big deal.
Yeah.
Sometimes just trust the guys on the ice.
Yeah, they weren't losing their minds.
They weren't outraged about it.
Well, and I was going to say that's one of the other things that can actually spark a rivalry. It was like a out of control incident in a
for
game,
sure.
Right? Especially between division rivals. But I mean, I'll take both of them being good in the same season at one point. That would be really nice before we get too ahead of ourselves with the rivalry. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and you know, we've talked a lot about Nils Höglander on the show today, on the show yesterday as well. Of course, he scores the power play goal, and there is this open conversation about who that fifth guy on the power play is going to be for the Canucks. DeBrusk's going to get the first look there, but that's not written in stone for the rest of the season or anything. And, you know, of course, it was a big conversation point around Nils Höglander last season, the fact that he was scoring so much at 5-on-5, not getting those power play opportunities. Does he have a chance to factor in meaningfully in the Canucks' power play plans this year? First unit feels like a bit of a stretch because they have those other options. He's not right-handed. But we're talking about these development steps that he could take, and it feels like some sort of regular role on the power play is kind of low-hanging fruit for him.
Yeah, well, interesting that he was playing the bumper and scored, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a good start. You know, Jake DeBrusk will get the first look. I think we all believe that and know that. But, you know, again, the way that the Canucks have sort of built these power play units during preseason, because we've yet to see them practice with the like main PP1 or even
all
like,
of them together.
Yeah, or even a PP unit that looks like it could be the PP1, right? Like, we haven't seen that yet. So, you know, I still sort of look at the bumper as a spot, not of like open competition. I think that would be too far, but something where the Canucks are going to trial guys and get a look for who has a good feel for it. And that's necessary. I think DeBrusk's career high on the power play in terms of points is 14, right? Like, that's not elite demands a locked in spot on PP1 sort of production, which isn't to say that he can't succeed there or that he won't succeed there. It's just to say that that track record doesn't demand it, you know, as something that's like beyond a matter of reasonable discussion or skepticism as we sort of enter this season, especially when, you know, I think the Canucks do, in their mind's eye, think that another right-handed shot for power play one would be useful, helpful, worth having. And so I'm curious to see how this shapes out.
Shapes out. No, whatever.
Can it shape out?
Why not?
You can shape up. I don't know if
how
you
it shapes
shape
up.
Out.
Yes, how it shakes up.
You better shape up.
Do do do. Also, the Canucks, of course, playing in Abbotsford tonight against the Flames. Now, you'll be able to hear that one on Sportsnet 650. Brendan Batchelor, Randy Janda on site in Abbotsford with the call. It's not on TV. I believe the Canucks are streaming it on their website with Batch's call.
I've been confirmed that.
So it is streaming on the Canucks website. And also, I'll be on the intermission and postgame show with Sat for that one. So we'll have full coverage of it here on Sportsnet 650 as they take on the Flames.
Will you still be chipper if the Canucks are down?
Yeah.
I'm not saying
it's a game-to-game thing, but if it's would you rather cover a bottom feeder or a Stanley Cup contender? Yeah, it's an easy decision. This is like the meme of the guy like boldly standing up to announce something at a town hall on Twitter. Something super obvious that everyone agrees with. That's me doing it right now. Yeah, I hot take, guys. I would rather cover a really good team than a really bad team in the NHL. We're going to skip right ahead to the lineup notes.
I would rather cover a team of people who are having fun.
Sure.
Which usually means a
typically
winning team.
It correlates with winning, in my experience.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I would rather cover a team where the fans are having fun. Typically correlates with winning.
True.
In my experience as well. That makes a big difference. Lineup notes, optional skate in Abbotsford, so we don't have any official lines, but we do know the roster. And as mentioned, from last night's game, guys that are going to feature in this one as well, Lekkomäki, Ratu, Carlson, Sasson of the young players all have a chance to impress the coaching staff again. Sammy Blais on the PTO will play again. Christian Melanin as well on the blue line will be back in the lineup. Other notables, Arshdeep Baines gets his first preseason action Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are going to be there. New acquisition, Jake DeBrusque, Kiefer Sherwood as well, Vincent Desharnais. So a pretty talented roster that they're sending out there, a mix of prospects, new acquisitions, established stars, and it will be Nikita Tolopilo and Yuri Patera, the netminers. Not sure who's going to get the start there, if they'll split it. We know Rick Tocchet's not a big 30-30 guy, but those are the goalies that the Canucks are sending. Daniel Sprong, I should mention as well.
Yeah, Daniel
Sprong. Daniel Sprong feels like he's flown under the radar a little bit here because I feel like Lekkerimäki has just kind of eclipsed a lot of other winger conversation here. And I think a lot of people looked at Sprong as, hey, he has a chance to go up there next to Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusque, and he still does have a chance, but it just feels like he hasn't gotten that much attention because of we're all paying so much attention to Lekkerimäki.
Yeah, it's also because Canucks fans haven't seen him yet. You know, I mean, you know how long it's going to take for Daniel Sprong to make an impression on Canucks fans? One shot.
Because
This guy has a unique, high-velocity, super dangerous wrist shot. He is one of the most lethal one-shot scorers in the league. There are holes in his game because that description applies to like 9 of the highest profile superstars in the league and Daniel Sprong, right? But that doesn't change the fact that like what Sprong does well is one of the coolest things to do well in hockey. And the moment you see it, the moment fans see it, the conversation will start. But you know, training camp, you don't see it. Like, training camp, you hear descriptions from Batch and I and other reporters. You know, he's not at Young Stars. So tonight's sort of the first time that Canucks fans will see, like, you know, grainy arena cam broadcast of Daniel Sprong playing. And even that will be enough if he uncorks the sort of shot that he can uncork tonight against the Calgary Flames.
Going to be interesting to see who he's skating with as well, right? Because yeah. I would expect that Lekkerimäki gets the Pettersson and DeBrusque assignment. Going to be interesting to see who Archdeep Baines and Atu Ratu end up skating with in Abbotsford as well. In fact, I wouldn't mind that. Archdeep Baines, Atu Ratu, Daniel Sprong trio out there in Calgary. That would be a fun one to watch. So those are your lineup notes, what you can expect.
Provided that they're winning.
Whatever, man. Get out of here. Get out of here. By the way, a couple people have texted in about this while we're talking lineup notes. Is there anything going on with JT Miller? Didn't play last night, is not playing tonight. Rick Tocchet said after the game that they just wanted to get him some rest. They're not concerned about JT Miller. He's going to play some preseason games. So as of right now, no reason to be worried about JT Miller. I don't believe Danton Heinen will have featured in either of these games either for the Canucks. But as far as we know, nothing going on there. Just veterans who don't need as many preseason games. They want to use these opportunities to get looks at some of the other guys further down the depth chart. Go ahead.
Just to note that JT Miller was on the ice. We watched them go through a full practice.
Yeah.
He was on the ice at every single training camp. Rick Tocchet has addressed wanting to limit how much Miller plays, noted him playing 2 games over the course of preseason. Zero concern. There is nothing to that. Like, don't worry about it. It's not a thing. If I see any inclination that it is, I promise you'll see it on my Twitter feed.
And we'll wrap up quickly with your favorite part of the whiteboard in the preseason, the betting odds.
You know what? For preseason, let's change this.
No.
Let's change this.
I'm already doing it.
Instead of the betting odds or the gambling odds, this should be the call the number special. The call the number.
The you need help special.
Yeah. Call the number.
Canucks minus 223 against the Flames in Abbotsford. And
heavy favorites.
The total, the over under, when I checked this morning, was at 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
That has been bet up to 6.5 now. So the Sharps expecting some goal scoring in Abbotsford tonight.
Call the number if you're gambling on preseason.
Also, the under hit yesterday.
Call the number. Do yourself a favor.
All right, on that note,
on that dour note, good show, buddy.
I derailed your happiness for a little bit there by suggesting you were happy.
No, it was the...
You were like, no, I'm not.
How dare you?
I'm not happy.
Yeah, and then I became grumpy for the rest of the segment. That was fun. Let's do it again tomorrow.
I was like, I know how to get him back to normal, Drance. Suggest that he's happy about the Canucks specifically.
Yeah. How dare you?
You take that back right now. All right, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the game. Reminder, you can listen to it here on Sportsnet 650. Full pregame coverage. The game call with Batch and Randy. Postgame with Sat and myself. You can also stream it on Canucks.com, so not on TV, but you can still watch this one. You can still listen to Batch and the coverage here. And we will be back tomorrow to break it all down with another edition of Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650.